Hello, you're listening to a Talker Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussion of the podcast episode. We can talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us. Dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members on the Discord, which you can find the link on if you're listening to us on YouTube, in the description, YouTube, atalkingspirit.com. There's a link there, or you can just go to discord.atalkingspirit.com. Tons of ways to get there to a great community of people. But yes, how's the last... Shoot, well, it would have been, how's the last week been? I was going to say, how's it been since the last discussional, which is like 2 months ago? It always piles up. Those reviews always pile up the discussional news and stuff.
Right. Well, it put me behind a little bit on this season because I was trying to catch up on a lot of the old stuff. And so I'm vigorously trying to catch all the shows as they come out. When a day comes, I try to watch all the shows, catch up on that, or all the episodes to catch up on that. So I have like five or six shows that I'm aware of that I need to catch up on, but yeah.
I think I'm like down to three or so. I'm getting there.
Right.
The problem is I'm trying to do like you, but I'm doing it for the sake of like watch all the episodes in that one day. That way I can do impressions on it and it's all fresh in the mind. But
right.
Sometimes it doesn't work out because I'm just trying to keep up with everything and not get too far behind. But I'm almost to the point where I'm kind of comfortable with what I kind of did first impressions on, but it's fun. First impressions is always fun. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep up with everything else at the same time with Shoko Mondays and all that kind of stuff at the same time. So it worked out. But yeah, the summer season hasn't taken off. And of course, we're already looking towards the fall season with this news. So if you're ready to talk about fall, we're going to talk about some fall. Them's the breaks. But yeah, just make sure you get some input on the music this time around. I know sometimes you go, oh, why didn't you get this one in there? And then I go, well, because you didn't say anything. So
there's a Teddy Lloyd out there somewhere. I think it was.
Did I miss it?
Yeah, I'm gonna be impressed if you missed it. I want to say it was.
It's probably level one unique skill because I haven't watched that one yet.
No.
Or again, it's a show that I'm skipping the OP for or the ED for. We can look it up later. But yes, as per usual, at talkingspirit.com, that's where you can go for all of our links, social media links, ways to support us, Patreon, tips links, memberships on youtube.com/talkingspirit. Tons of ways to support us. Hey, if you have a Prime account and you're looking for a place to throw your Prime, you can find us on Twitch as well. That's another way that a lot of people do it because they already have Prime. So like, yeah, just throw this. I don't stream there often unless I'm doing stuff that I'm avoiding copyright for. But it's still a way to kind of support us. That money still goes technically to us, so... Yeah. Anyways, the news. We have tons of news. Like I said, I don't know if we'll go through everything, but as per usual, I do all that new stuff on the youtube.com/talkingspirit. I always like to do it on the podcast because not everybody that listens to the podcast watches the YouTube. I don't know why. It's like they hate me. But yeah, let's kick things off with the big one. Spice and Wolf. They dropped a new trailer, Chris.
Yeah, I hear.
I thought they were going to like delay it or something like that, but then suddenly out of nowhere, boom, it hit. And I was like, wait, and there's a trailer and it has footage and you can hear them. I was not expecting this. But yes, the trailer is for, of course, Spice and Wolf. It's Merchant Meets the Wise Wolf is kind of the subtitle they're giving it. I'm not sure if that's going to be like the new full title or whatever, but yeah, it's of course, the journey of the peddler and the wolf. They specifically say it is spun from scratch again. Which, yes, finally confirming the thing that we've all been wondering at this point. Is this a remake? Is this from the beginning again? Yes, it is from the beginning again. Which does, for me personally, with my prediction, lend itself the possibility that they could be possibly, hopefully this time, adapting the whole thing. But we'll see. We'll see. But also, a date, Chris. 2024.
Yeah.
Next year. That's quicker than I thought it would be. Now, the interesting thing is, because I've been trying to speculate on who the studio would be, and my big hope was Bind, just because all I can think about with Bind is, like, beautiful grassy fields, and that's what I think of when I think of Spice and Wolf, but it wasn't. It's Studio Passione, which, personally, is a...
You think so?
I mean, Miracle-chan, I think, is the only thing they've done that's, like, really good. Interspecies Reviewers was... good for certain assets, obviously. But I mean, Harem and Labyrinth Another World, Roka Berry of Six Flowers, Rene Flops, Yuri Is My Job. It's not... This isn't a really great... It's a it's an okay studio, but I was hoping for a really good studio. But we always can't get what we want. Now, why I say this sort of, this should have been a dead giveaway, which studio they would end up choosing, is the fact that the original director of the original adaptation, the old adaptation, is at Passion. So it makes sense that it went to Passion, because maybe they possibly wanted to get Takeo, the director, again. He's listed as the chief director, which that sometimes can mean that they're involved. Sometimes it means they're just putting his name on there, and that's kind of my big concern as well. Sanpei Hijiri is going to be doing the actual directing of it. They did Yuri's My Job, Wasted Days of High School Girls. Doesn't instill a whole bunch of confidence in me. At the same time, the original director isn't, like, a person with a massive, you know, great repertoire behind him either. Technically, he did do Spice and Wolf and Mao, so... And we kind of felt both those shows were kind of similar, so it made sense why it was the same director. But Kevin Pinkin's doing the music. That's pretty cool. Always like his music. He did, like, Made in Abyss and stuff. He's really good. I like his music. Oh, Shield Hero 2, if you watch that show. But yeah, and the other big news is that, of course, both Lawrence and Holo's original seiyus are going to be reprising their roles. So, same voices, which, me personally, yes, I did like Lawrence, but let's all be honest, everybody was hoping that they had the same seiyu for Holo, because it's just super unique.
Yeah, super unique. She has a very haughty nature to her voice, and it really does make her shine.
Yeah. So, with that said, some people requested that Chris give his live reaction to the trailer, and apparently either he's just been lazy and not checking it out, or he was actually holding true to that request.
No.
But he has not watched the trailer yet.
If you want to go with lazy, we can go with that, but I'm going more along the lines of just so much crap going on all the time.
He wanted to do this just for you guys.
Yes,
I'm doing
it just for you guys.
I think the only thing in the trailer, personally, that I was kind of a little bit concerned about, like, I understand, like, the whole thing with the Harvest Festival, they're going to use CGI characters from the faraway shots. The only real, like, true concern I had is the fact that the wagon that Lawrence is riding around is CGI. Which, unfortunately, is an expected thing. But let's be honest, a lot of the show is in that wagon. So hopefully they don't utilize those wide shots with a CGI horse and the CGI carriage too much. But me personally, I feel like everything else looks absolutely beautiful. I think a big concern that a lot of people have is Holo is different than the old anime. That let's just say that. My argument is that she looks actually like she fits more to the original light novel, because some people don't know the original light novel, her ears are actually pretty short. And I, like I said, it's got more roundedness to this new character design. I personally feel like the new design looks closer to the original source material. Again, it doesn't look like the old anime, that's for sure, but I like it. I really do.
But I think they look fantastic. Lawrence, absolutely. He looks a lot more mature. A lot more, I guess, older in a way. He's not that old in the books. So, I mean, it's not... He gives off this much more rugged type vibe, because he is a guy that's on the road all the time. She looks a lot more... youthful in a way. I mean, not young, but she does definitely look a lot more youthful, and she gives off a lot better vibe. I'm absolutely entranced by her eyes. She looks fantastic. I'm absolutely thrilled. This looks so good.
Well, this is what I was saying about the whole, I mean, we both kind of, I think, agreed on that, is this is kind of the reason why I felt like they needed to start from the beginning if they have the desire to keep going.
Yeah.
I did not like the idea of them jumping straight into making the next season of it, because it looks substantially different. It's not just the character designs themselves. It's just modern over, what, almost now 2 decades? I mean, things have changed. Quality has changed. And so it's not going to fit that old style. Those backdrops actually look really good, even though the clouds look like they're moving way too fast. And the hills and the clouds look like they're moving too fast. It still looks really good. I can't wait for it. But like I said, just hearing her voice again was like, oh, I miss this girl. I miss Holo so much. I am just so excited for this. This literally made my day when this popped up. I was like, I was not expecting this. This much information, I think, is the main key thing there. But
I hope they, I do hope that they stay in his head a little bit more. A lot of what is going on is in his head. And I mean, I think that the original show did it well, but it didn't do justice to how much inner torment that he had in his frustration.
Well, just like the first meeting. I remember when I was first reading the first volume, I was like, when that first meeting between the two of them happened, it was like, holy crap, I understand him fully right now, because I understand everything he's currently thinking about this
bizarre situation. He's very, very lonely. And the whole point of why he even accepted her there was because of how lonely he was.
Yeah, his companion was his horse.
Yeah.
It was like literally was his companion, was his like his wife was his horse. The connection that he had with his poor horse that gets completely replaced on this shot of a hot holo. Them's the breaks. I'm sorry, people. Ditching the horse for a wolf. You know how it is. But yeah, everything about that it has me super excited. Like I said, 2024, big shock, which again, I'm still kind of hoping even at this point, it's probably gonna be I'm still thinking, well, I mean, they show quite a bit, but again, that's mostly what's in the PV looks like. It's probably one or two episodes worth of content there. Like where they're going. It looks like that first trade that he did, which would be the pelts, right? Cause he had the pelts. She got the apples incented the pelts and they sold the pelts. So it's only about that far. I don't see them going any further than that with the PV currently. So, yeah, I'm super excited. I hope that they actually fully adapt and don't. Was it three they skipped? I think they went 1, 2, and then 4.
No,
remember correctly.
They didn't skip anything.
Yeah, they skipped the volume.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm pretty sure they skipped the volume. But
I'm going through them right now. I just finished all the way up to volume 6. So.
Anyways, I've heard nothing but that they've skipped a volume. But if they didn't, then they didn't. But either way, I just hope that they cover everything, including the further beyond the first season, for sure. But
I actually understand it a bit more as to why they stopped where they did.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on, another big crazy thing. Warner Brothers Japan and Wit Studio has announced at AX, which was a while back, of course. Again, we're still getting caught up on the news for the podcast. An original anime project, Suicide Squad Isekai, which is DC Harley Quinn, the Joker, and the Suicide Squad rampaging on the stage of Isekai in a new original anime series from Warner Brothers Japan and Wit Studio, Suicide Squad Isekai. The most maddening worlds collide in an epic and violent fantasy with the strangest lineup of anime creators. Super crazy. This is so funny because when I first heard about this whole thing, I'm like, okay, Warner Brothers working with Warner Brothers Japan specifically working with Wit Studio. I'm like, okay, it's probably gonna be something maybe Japanese Warner Brothers related, but then no, they're like Suicide Squad. I'm like, I don't know. And then I watched the trailer. I'm like, okay, I like this. I like Harley Quinn already. She looks great. It looks like a lot of fun. Harley Quinn in it reminds me a lot of Nazana from Call of the Night. I don't know why, just the demeanor, not necessarily the look, just the demeanor. But I'm super hyped for it.
Yeah, I was definitely excited about Harley Quinn as well. And I was going in a different direction. I don't remember which anime I named off, but I think it was Lucy, honestly. But it definitely has an edge of, hey, come on, let's just go out and destroy everything type vibe. And she absolutely pulls it off, and I'm absolutely thrilled by it.
Yeah, obviously the Suicide Squad sort of has a vulgarness to it, and so I'm kind of curious how that will translate to a Japanese studio working on it. But I mean, we have the original director for Jujutsu Kaisen is working on it as a director, and Tape Nakatsuki, who of course is the original light novel writer for ReZero, is going to be writing it. We have the ReZero musician working on it. So it's pretty much like the ReZero team went to Wit Studio and are making a Isekai Suicide Squad, which could be really, really good. Obviously, Tape is known for doing some pretty brutal stuff, so I'm thinking he can probably work really well with those characters. So it all kind of works together surprisingly well. I came into this expecting nothing and got something, so I'm pretty excited about it. So yeah. Some really cool news around Frieren. I'm not sure if Chris knows about this, but yeah, of course, they had an announcement a while back about it being a 2-hour special for its first episode, which is crazy. Now, of course, me and every other anime fan that has been around anime for a while, when you hear 2 hours, you think, okay, now cut out ads. This might actually be a full 2-hour long premiere, because this is actually going to be premiering on NTV, which is like a, it's like a it's a feature film block. And this is supposed to be like the first anime to be on a feature film block for NTV, which that in itself is an achievement. Madhouse working on it, possibly being a full 2 hours long early release. It's going to be September 29th. And yeah, everything about this is psyching me up. I've already checked out the PVs. I even read a bit of the manga. Super emotional already with its first part that I actually read, which makes me warn most people don't check out the new PV, because it technically does spoil like one of the earlier emotional points that got me teary-eyed. So the other cool thing is that we found out here recently that Crunchyroll is going to be premiering it on September 29th. So good on Crunchyroll's. They've seen how this is going to release early over there. Let's get it over here on the same day. So give Crunchyroll the props when they deserve it. That's definitely one that I'm excited for, to not only have, you know, a 2-hour start, but also early. So have you been checking out anything for, and you checked out the PV, right?
I don't recognize the name.
Oh, you didn't check it out? You just speak up. Just speak up. But yeah, it's like I said, I've from what I've seen with the manga, I've been absolutely loving it.
Oh, is this the elf
that's part of the Heroes Party and
they pass away and everything?
Some of them, yeah. The hero, I think, is like one of the earlier ones, but yeah, they all kind of separate, and she's an elf, so she's obviously gonna not age as much. So there's kind of an aspect of humanity and the unskippable, the unavoidable fate of time that affects different races differently. But yeah, her little journey, which I think is great. Plus, she falls into mimics a lot, apparently. That's supposed to be like the ongoing joke of hers, that she falls into mimics. Which kind of bugs me they haven't shown in any of the trailers yet, but damn, it looks so good. It just looks so good. This is like Madhouse at their best, and I'm super pumped for it. So.
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic. Yeah, and a 2-hour beginning would make sense if they're using the her experiences with the other party as a effectively a prequel. That would make a lot of sense.
Well, they do have like a really solid first arc that I read, and it's pretty much like it opens up with them coming back and celebrating. So it's more, there is an early arc to it, which is very, like I said, very impactful that the PV sort of spoils, which I think will fit pretty. I think they'll probably do that first arc and the second arc. And I think that'll all work really well for a pretty good climax. There is a pretty good solid realization thing in that. So it works well. It works well. So we had Dengeki Bunko 30th anniversary event, which had a ton of announcements. We had I May Be a Guild Receptionist, which is essentially about a girl who works as a receptionist, and she was expecting to have a really good life working there at this adventure guild, and then she realizes that she's always having to be late because adventurers get trapped in dungeons and stuff, so she pretty much decides to go out there and do it herself to kind of cut down paperwork and to be able to clock out early enough. So apparently it's an OP receptionist, which honestly for me is kind of great because I like my guild receptionist. She looks pretty cute. I don't know. It's like the designs and stuff of all the guild mistresses and stuff I really like. But oh, she has like a hoodie. I guess she does technically have to keep her identity a secret, so I guess she's going to wear a hoodie to cover up her identity. So that's cute. For once, Andrew finally gets a show about a guild mistress or guild receptionist girl.
That's awesome. So, and she is cute.
There we go. We had TV anime adaptation for Your Forma was announced, which this apparently is like a sci-fi series that I thought it was actually a game, but then apparently I found out that it was not a game. This one is pretty much an alternate universe near future where they pretty much have this disease and they use this kind of technology to help people with the disease, which is called Your Forma. And then this person does investigative stuff, like diving into these systems because it's like a smartphone, I guess, like a device, and then you're able to, it like monitors everything you do, so I guess they're going to use that to tap in to find out what happens to crimes and stuff. But yeah, it seems like somebody that doesn't like AI, and then they're partnered up with somebody that is a robot, so you're gonna have that whole shtick going on. Do you trust the robots that you hate so much? We had confirmed anime adaptation of Love Between Twins is Indivisible, which looks really cute because we finally have a show that seems to be about twin two cest? Childhood friends. Yes, oh. Twins.
Oh, I thought it was twincest.
That too, probably. I don't know. They could go that direction. But yeah, like a tomboy. There's one of the sisters a tomboy, but actually a maiden inside, and the other one is like a otaku. So place your waifu wars votes in there right now so we can decide on which one is the better one. I don't know, like I immediately think like the otaku girl is probably gonna be like the obvious pick, but at the same time I sometimes don't really like those tomboys. Sometimes they just work. So but yeah, it's a guy that has these twins are like childhood friends, and then love happens between them, and he's got to decide which one, obviously. Hopefully one doesn't end up heartbroken. You know, it's just going to end up with him with both of them.
Obviously.
Degenerate otaku writers these days. Jeez.
It's better than neither of them getting him.
But yeah, I like the art style, though. It looks really cute.
See, you have to understand the concept. If one gets him, then the other doesn't. So it's better to just both of them just share him, and why then they don't both? Have to worry about it. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the taco
then
thing.
Then neither of them lose out.
Degenerate people. The previously announced can a boy girl friendship hold up? No, it can't. Has been confirmed for having JC staff working on it. So there you go with that one. Also. This was pretty big here recently. I think it got quite a bit of storm, especially on our Discord. But yeah, for all those fans of Sword Art Online, Alternative Gun Gale Online, one of the longest titles ever, it's getting a second season. So more Pink Blur. What was she called? The Pink Killer? The Pink
She's a pink
Storm?
Demon or something like that.
Yeah, Pink something. With her little Pichon.
Pichon.
Shooting stuff. Hopefully this will be a season of less melodrama for me personally, but I'm super excited for more Pink Girl. I think she was fantastic. I really enjoyed her shenanigans and wrecking people, but my only problem with the first season, I couldn't stand the later parts. It was just too much for me. I just couldn't, take it seriously. And it was trying to look like it was taking itself seriously. Your thought, did you enjoy the first season?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Even the later parts, when it was getting all like super heavy and stuff?
Yeah,
it
didn't bother me. It
was just like they were playing a game, but yet everybody was acting like they were literally dying. And it was like, please stop. Like, this isn't the original Sword Online. I mean, there was a gimmick to the other girl, but it was like, people, chill out. It's just a video game. It's that whole aspect of like, stop trying so hard. These are gamers. They're not going to be like screaming like they're literally dying. I don't know. It was a bit much for me. Plus, I didn't really like the other character. I think that whole story was a bit much. But again, I think they were starting to open up a lot of stuff around the character outside of the game. And I think they can possibly start getting that stuff, because it felt like they were kind of just starting to scratch the surface of that stuff. Because she has like a lot of insecurities about her actual self. She's too tall. But that's why she wants a really short character. But yeah, it's because wasn't it that she played that game because it was the only game that because it like all the seeds of Sword Art that or the original game of Sword Art Online was like spreading out, and whatever server you went to, it would like randomly select you an avatar, and that was the only one that was she got a really short character, and so she pretty started much. Playing it.
Well, if I like, remember right, that was the only one character. That was the only one where they actually did randomize. Everybody else was able to customize.
But why would she pick that game over any other game? Because that's the only game that gave her the short character.
I don't remember. I think maybe it was probably just because it was the first one that she had went to.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I don't know.
And she thought the character was cute. So, I mean, that was her thing, was that she liked cute things.
Yeah. But yeah, that's great news. We also have the two sides of voice actors radio staff 2024 premiere and teaser visual was released. So there's another Seiyu related type show. The whole idea behind this one is that you have these two that are actually voice actors. They work on this radio broadcast. But when they're actually in their normal life, they're completely different and they actually hate each other. Yasumi, who is a gyaru in real life, and then you have Yuhi,
and
who
totally
is
not,
a quiet girl.
And it's totally not her.
And they totally don't love each other.
Well, it's totally not Dress Up Darling.
Oh, totally not, no. Not gyarus. Gyarus are always different, Chris. They never look the same. But yeah, they hate each other. Which means they actually love each other because they're being tsundere, obviously. Obviously. But yeah, that's all the Dengeki Bunko stuff. We also had staff for the TV anime Heat the Pig Liver has released a promo and announced a staff and as well as a October premiere. So this is going to be a fall show, which is basically Kirito Pig. Are you excited for Kirito Pig?
I don't know. If I remember right, we were interested in this one, right?
I don't like it because of Kirito voice, but I kind of like it because she looks cute and it's supposed to be ecchi. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I want to hear Kirito screaming all the time. It's funny because I do run into Kirito every now and then, the seiyuu, and I'm not bothered by him. It's just the yelling Kirito. I've finally figured out it's just yelling Kirito. I can't stand it. Like Trigun, the new Trigun. He's like always yelling. It's like, oh gosh, I can't stand his voice when he's yelling. Stop yelling. Yeah, we'll see. It's like pretty much like the Heat the Pig thing is like you have to eat something raw and then you die and then you become a pig. I don't remember what it was. It was weird. Eating raw pig liver, you will lose your consciousness and be reincarnated as a pig. So don't do that though. That is not real. This is a book. This is a fictitious book. Do not eat raw pig liver. You will not be isekai to a hot girl. I have to put that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you tried this?
Chris, stop.
Have you tried this,
Chris,
Andrew?
I'm trying to save our entire careers and lives and everything. Rebecca Magic High is coming back. Do you know that? I didn't know that.
I love it. I want it.
But the sequel is coming in 2024. That'd be like 2000 or 2014. Yeah, that would take a long time. Anyways, yeah, that's coming back and it's going to be in 2024. So there you go. I don't know. I still have to watch the movie, I think. Well, there was a movie, wasn't there? I didn't watch the side story because that's just kind of a knockoff that didn't follow the story. So I'm not too concerned about it, but. Yeah, there was a movie. Yeah, I remember it was a movie. Yeah, there was a movie. I need to watch the movie. I don't know why. Not super invested in it, but I might. We'll see. Anyways, fans of Battle Angel Alita, the live action, apparently James Cameron has pretty much slipped out that he's working on more of them. Not just one, but two. He used plural. Films, plural. Essentially, the Forbes article was about him listing his home or his ranch. And in the article, he literally says, it makes sense for me to sell this because for this project, I'll be in this state. And for Alita Battle Angel films, I'll be in Austin. So it's like, okay, it's just literally him saying, I'm going to be in Austin because I'm doing this project. So we kind of knew. I think they kind of was hinting at he wanted to do more.
Yeah,
so
this just kind of confirms. He's been saying that for a while, so.
I mean, the first one was really successful.
When he's in Austin, we'll get excited.
Yeah, it's like, when I'm in Austin, I'll be doing that. He never goes to Austin.
I was fine with it. It wasn't bad. I thought they did.
It was a lot better than,
better than I was expecting it to be.
The bar for Hollywood live action of anime is pretty low.
Pretty low.
No, it was enjoyable. I did enjoy it. I hate the eyes. I really hate the eyes.
But it's one of those that you want it to be a full adaptation, and the promise of getting more of the story is okay. I'll believe it when I'm actually looking at it and actually watching it, and then I'll be excited. But as it stands right now, I'm not getting my hype up. That's nice. I'll get excited when he's. I'll let myself get a little excited when he's in Austin, but when I'm actually watching it, that's when I'm gonna know that there is an actual second part to this. That's
might
watch, actually get to.
Are you gonna watch his Armitage adaptation?
Yes, I would.
That's a joke, people. He's not doing an Armitage. But no, I think it's like I said, the bar is low, but I did like Alita. Like,
yeah, I did get a kick out of his changing of the rollerblade thing kind of incorporate
rather than doing a ballerina.
Yeah.
Rather than actually doing a ballerina, let's take the battle angel and put her in roller derby. It was fine though. It was good. It was entertaining. Like I said, I think the more sad thing about this is like, come on, Japan and your anime studios, they're beating you. We're gonna here soon have more adapted in a Hollywood live action than the actual anime. That's sad because the anime didn't really cover much. And this was probably going to go beyond that. So that is the kind of the big myth.
Yep.
But it is what it is. We still have the manga there to read. One of these days I'll finish reading it. I didn't read too much of it. Anyways, fans of Unnamed Memory, stop being fans because it's delayed. You're not getting any time soon. I've heard some hype around this one, and it's kind of sad to hear that this was got delayed. They're delaying it to 2024, which at this point, if they didn't do it in fall, there's nowhere else they can do it, so it makes sense that if they have announced for fall, they're going to delay it. So hopefully it's just till January. But there is one cool thing about this announcement, though. They just said production circumstances. They didn't use the C card, Chris. Is Japan finally done with the C card? I'm so happy.
Maybe.
I'm so happy. It's the little things, Chris. It's the little things. I get excited about that kind of stuff. The official website for Mecha Ude has revealed a promo and a staff and 2024 premiere. So this one, I don't know if we ever actually cover, but apparently it was a one they did a pilot for. And then later on, they did a Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaign, raised like $100,000, and then greenlit a series that's going to be coming in 2024. So it looks very, dare I say it, Chris? Should I say it?
Go for it.
Fully Cooley-ish. It looks very Fully Cooley. I don't know. But the animation's crazy, though. It looks really good. Now, as to if it's going to be actually entertaining and not just what looks like a bunch of machine arms punching each other, we'll see. But, like I said, the animation looks really good. So, I have some hopes for it.
I was going with Hero Academia, but...
Yeah, I did too, I guess. I guess there's a twinge of Hero Academia. I don't know what... I think it's just really the character designs and stuff that really got me. But yeah, I can see that as well. I don't know, maybe
if I watch it and it starts feeling Fully Cooley, I'm no.
Well, when you think over the top bizarre. And yeah, I can see that. I'm not talking bizarre. I'm just looking style and stuff.
Yeah, some of the character designs are flipping back and forth between Hero Academia and I do see some Fully Cooley in there.
Some furry curry. You see some furry curry. We'll see how that one turns out. Like I said, the substance besides the action and animation, I'm not really getting much from the PV, so we'll see. Cool stuff. Polygon Pictures, let's just keep doing the Marvel stuff, Chris. Are you Polygon Pictures is working on a Spider-Man. Marvel's getting all up in the anime right now, which is, you know, is good for some people. Question mark for other people. But yes, Polygon Pictures has announced they're working with Marvel Studios on a Spider-Man titled Spider-Man Freshman Year. It's a new animated series which is going to be on television. Marvel has described it as an animated series that follows Peter Parker on his way to becoming Spider-Man in the MCU, with a journey unlike we've ever seen before, that's in a style that celebrates the character's early comic book roots. I'm sure for all the comic book fans, they understand what that means. I don't. Written by executive producer Jeff Trammell, and as a joke I made on my video talking about this, that means it won't be on Mal. Because everything in Polygon Pictures that's got an English name on it, Mal doesn't put up there. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah?
They did that with the Pacific Rim, the Black. I don't know why. It's like they just don't want to put it on there because it has some English names on there. Even though, like, Polygon Pictures and all the staff were all Japanese. Whatever. Just a dumb thing. But no, I was like, okay, this makes sense. Polygon Pictures doing a Spider-Man. If you're going to have an animated Spider-Man, he's flinging through the air, probably the easiest studio to pull that off is going to be a CGI studio. Sad, but true. Which, again, like I've said before, if it's full CGI, I'm fine with CGI, as long as the CGI is good. Polygon Pictures does good CGI. But this says that it's on his way to becoming. So it's going to be like not him being Spider-Man. So why do we need Polygon Pictures to animate this? That's where I suddenly went, wait, I don't know if this adds up.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious about that too. Now that you've pointed it out, when it dawned on me who Polygon Pictures was, I was like, oh man, because I've never been big on Polygon Pictures. Andrew's really likes Polygon Pictures as far as I've been able to tell, but I've never really, their stories are fine, but they tend to pick some shows or some stories that I'm not big on. So this one kind of sounds more like a slice of life-ish, and that kind of would lean towards something that I'd be interested in, but now I didn't even think about the fact that technically it's slice of life before. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Polygon Pictures would be stronger on the action side.
I mean, it could still be like, I don't know, a few episodes in, he becomes Spider-Man. It's just the way that it's stated, way to becoming, makes me think that. But no, I really love Sidonia. Nice Sidonia. Really enjoyed Ajin. I think that their adaptation of Ajin was good. I've always criticized their character, especially early on when I first started watching the show. Sidonia, especially when they first started, was like, yeah, very stiff-looking human animation. But they've definitely gotten better over time. Now, my question mark is in a style that celebrates the earlier comic book roots. So it makes me wonder if Polygon Pictures for this one is going to get creative with art style, because they don't really do crazy stuff with art style. Polygon Pictures usually goes for something that's more like anime, but with detail, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I'm not sure about them applying some sort of cel shading or something that's going to be unique.
I mean, it might be interesting, just like they did with the Stan Lee one, but that wasn't Polygon Pictures. But
yeah, it makes me wonder and I think they actually talk about it with the press release for this. But they're pretty much fresh off the heels of the new Spider-Man animated stuff that came out. So maybe they're possibly going to go with that style, which I still need to watch, by the way. I'm not that I'm a huge Marvel fan that I'm not, chomping at the bit to go watch the latest Spider. I've heard a lot of good things about it, so don't get me wrong. But we'll see. Official website for the anime adaptation of The Witch and the Beast released a promo. Chris, are you ready for Witch Hunter Robin? I'm really hoping this is gonna be a Witch Hunter Robin. I'm just hoping this ends up being a Witch Hunter Robin. But yeah, they released a staff visual and January 2024 premiere. Studio Yokohama Animation Lab is going to be working on it. Essentially follows a feral girl with long fangs and eyes of a beast and a soft-spoken man with delicate features and a coffin strapped to his back. They head to this one town that's in a thrall to a witch, and they're there to settle a score. Probably take out the witch. Which makes me, again, immediately think of Witch Hunter Robin for some reason. Because hunting witches. And it's sort of got a little bit of that style. And of course, Witch Hunter Robin's a lot more dark, visually dark. But I don't know. I can always hope for more Witch Hunter Robin, just from a different creator.
I'm taking it in. I think it looks beautiful. Absolutely looks beautiful. Very curious about it. That's for sure. Yeah. And that's what the PVs are supposed to do. They're the trailers and PVs. It the point of them is to get you interested in it, and I'm definitely interested. I'm very curious as to, because the Victorian feel to it definitely just tickles, and I really want to see what is this story? What are they going to do here?
What's in the coffin, Chris?
It's obviously a demon. It's gotta be a werewolf. It's got the purple hands and everything.
Is it what?
It's got purple hands. Obviously it's a demon.
It's a demon?
Obviously.
You don't think it's just like a purple haired werewolf?
If you want to go with purple hands mean purple haired werewolf, we'll go with it.
You haven't seen purple haired werewolves, Chris?
No, sure.
It's canon. Weren't they purple in Twilight?
We'll go with it. Whatever.
Twilight werewolves were purple.
Were they?
And you could pet them.
Which version of
Twilight were you watching? Some weird comic I read one time online. Things got weird. I don't think it was official.
I'm pretty sure that the sparkly
you have sparkly vampires. Why not
sparkly vampires?
Werewolves?
Like blinded you, and so the werewolf suddenly
was his
started.
Name, Jacob, you know, Jacob's just going through one of those phases, so he decided to dye his hair purple. He's rebelling against his family and dyed his hair purple.
Hey, don't be picking on Jacob.
Daddy, what a start.
You can pick on the sparkly.
That's
vampires.
A serious understatement. Way far away from. Rael Romanesque is coming back, Chris. I didn't know this. I just was like, okay, maybe I heard this a while back and I just forgot. I think it probably was announced right after the first season, but yeah, it's coming back in October, so right around the corner. Did you watch the first season?
I completely forgot. Yeah, I wanted to watch it.
I think it was a late or a late license.
I don't remember what it was. Something happened that made it to where I never did get caught up on it.
Things happened. Yes, Lolly trains. I will hopefully get caught up on this when I don't even probably Crunchyroll. Yeah, Crunchyroll had it. So yeah, there you go. I'll see if I get caught up. Either that, or I'll just keep claiming that I'm going to read the visual novel that's sitting on my shelf behind me.
Yeah, that was what, 3 years ago?
No. Wait, hold on. Where's the date? It says October down here. Where'd it go?
It said October. October 2020. Yeah.
Shut up, Chris.
And they're 5-minute episodes. How the heck did we miss that?
Shut up, Chris. Maybe they announced the second season early on. I was like, I'll wait till the second season comes. This is pretty cool news. I'm sure Chris will be excited about this if he hasn't heard already. But yeah, Tsukimichi Moonlit Fantasy. Some big news around its second season, which we really enjoyed the first season, right? You enjoyed it, right? Okay, yeah. I enjoyed it. Sometimes I catch myself speaking for Chris. But yes, the official website for the TV anime Tsukimichi Moonlit Fantasy has released a new trailer announcing a January 2024 premiere. JC staff is taking over for animation from, I think it was C2C. And it will also run two cores consecutively. So, good news. Good news depending on who you ask, and even better news. I'm a fan of JC staff, so C2C did a good job. Don't get me wrong. They did some pretty cool animation scenes in that season. But there was some points where it was like, okay, we did kind of didn't do anything with this scene. So I'm on board with JC staff taking over. So I forgot about the piglet lady. Who was voicing the piglet lady? It was like, was it? Oh, I cannot remember who was it. I loved her voice, though. I think it's Yor, isn't it? It's got it. I think it's Yor. Because I'm thinking of her talking and all I can hear is Yor. So I'm assuming Yor Forger from That Seiyuu. Sayori Hayama, which is her, right? Yep, I call it. I knew it. Like, I was just thinking of her talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's Yor, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Miyuki is who I was thinking of. So
cool.
She has a soft voice. And so,
yeah, it's very gentle. Let's see here.
It was a voice that really did kind of offset the con and made her character kind of contrast well. So it was very, very special.
The gentle little ogre. She was an ogre, right? Or was it orcs? It was an ogre.
I don't remember.
Anyways. Cool stuff, though. Cool stuff. Demon Prince of Momochi House has announced an anime adaptation, which is going to be done by Studio Drive, which, of course, did here recently. Explosion is Wonderful World. Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation's official website has announced that they will be running for, of course, two split cores. The second core will be running in April of 2024, so it's going to be a two-season break, just like the first season was. And yes, they confirmed 25 total episodes for the second season. So that weird quote-unquote leak about it having 60-something episodes, obviously bullcrap. And yes, based on the pacing of this last episode, yeah, they're only going to do 24 episodes, or 25 episodes, so... pretty much everything expected, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. We're expecting a split core. We're expecting two cores. It all kind of falls into place, so. See here. Netflix has announced at Anime Expo that it's going to be debuting Pluto on October 26th, so right around the corner. The other cool thing they announced is that it's going to be 8 60-minute episodes. So get ready for that one, Chris. I think you were pretty excited for that one, right? I think the PV looked pretty cool in it. They look a little bit too actiony. For you. I mean, it's like, you know, Astro Boy stuff.
Only the fact that it was Astro Boy is the only real reason why I would have any interest in it. And that's only vaguely, because, I mean, yeah, I like Astro Boy, but, I mean,
I'm not big on Astro Boy. I think it had a time.
Yeah, it had its time, and exactly, that's the point. It's I only kind of, I mean, and I didn't even get that deep into Astro Boy. It was more along lines of just for the knowledge sake of checking it out type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, just, like going back and deep watching.
To get into it. I mean, stories back then weren't that deep.
Yeah, going back and watching Magical Girl Milky or whatever her name is. You only go back there just
Super Milk-chan?
No, I'm joking.
It's not Super Milk-chan because I like to hear recently.
But going back and seeing some of those, mostly just for the knowledge of the genre, not necessarily because you're specifically interested in that as some kind of a...
Oh, I mean, it's like Gundam.
Going back and watching the old Gundams.
Yeah. Very, very dated. But it was an experience, and it's sort of a classic legend kind of thing, so I can see that. The official Twitter account for 365 Days to the Wedding has announced that it will be airing on television. This was previously announced as getting an adaptation, but they didn't have an actual format for it, so now we know. But, of course, that's the one that follows two coworkers that are both introverts. Apparently, their office is opening up a new office in Siberia, and they want to send non-married couples over there, or non-married people to it. So the guy decides to hook up with his coworker and get married. So, yeah, it's a good excuse to get married to a hot coworker.
There you go.
He's like, I don't really mind if I go to Siberia, but damn, it's a good excuse to hook up with that hot coworker. She'll never suspect it. Yeah, let's get married, because you don't want to go to Siberia too. No, you don't want to go to Siberia. Why Siberia? It's like of all, like this is like they're gonna open up a new place in Siberia. Like I that's the last place I would think they would bring up.
But maybe they're an ice company.
There you go.
They want to sell ice
to somebody. So I'm gonna move on. We got an update on the Apothecary Diaries, which I think the last time we watched a trailer of this, both me and Chris were pretty stupidly hyped for it. This is, of course, the one with the main character that's voiced by Aoyuki. They released a new visual for it, a new PV for it, and a October premiere. So another fall show. Super hype. It looks so freaking gorgeous. It looks so freaking good.
I love it.
But yeah, super hyped for that one. Cannot wait for it. But yeah, there you go. TV Asahi has announced a new original anime TV series, which is Our Rainy Protocol. This one is essentially an esports anime, because, you know, when I think of, you know, one thing we have not done in anime yet is esports. Anyways, it's premiering October, so another fall show. The youth drama centers on the world of esports. Shun Tokinoya is a second year high school student who started working at the esports cafe Fox One after his father's accidental death. Spoiler. However... It comes to light that Fox One is in considerable amount of debt. In order to pay this debt, Shun and his friends enter Zaxxarion Championship Tournament to win the tournament's prize money. So, there you go. I'm not a big esports fan, but I can honestly tell you that you're not just going to go, well, let's go win this esports tournament. It's... The esports players are freaking, no. They have macro like mad. You're not just going to jump in there and do a tournament.
I'm going to be a little bit cynical here.
Do it, Chris.
Because to me, you think of a sports show like Tsurune or something like that. And they hyper focus on everything that the characters are doing. Or like the basketball anime, where they maybe they'll kind of exaggerate something or something like that, but they still hyper focus on everything. What are they going to hyper focus on? Well, moves? the abilities. I mean, are they he's doing this strategy and this strategy, and therefore he's going to forest, or he's going to jungle, and he's going to do this. And it's like, what are you going to hyper focus on? How fast he moves his mouse across the mouse pad. I mean,
well, the character's on the screen.
The character's on the screen.
The game they're playing.
They're going, exactly. That means that they're going to. Well,
to be fair, the PV doesn't show any games.
Yeah.
So my assumption is, based on what I'm seeing with the actual PV, is that this is going to be a slice of life. Just it's going to be centered around them playing that. I don't think it's going to be so focused on the games themselves. But it is odd that you don't really even see, like, what game are they playing? Like, this is a tournament for Zaxxerion. I'm guessing that's the game because they show a login screen for Zaxxerion. What is Zaxxerion? There's a wolf. Well, that's the logo for the store.
I mean, if it's a slice of life, that would make sense. I mean, they could probably pull it off. If they're going for a sports, it's just this sports is going to be esports, then that I don't think is going to go well.
Yeah, well, like I said,
it's going to fall on its face.
The joke there is that if you're trying to draw an esports crowd, they're going to immediately see this context and go, no, you don't just go, I need to save the store, so I'm going to play esports. It doesn't quite work like that. You got to have the macro, man. You just can't jump into this stuff. You got to have the macro. Anyways, we'll see. The girls look cute, so I don't know. Maybe Doki Dokis. Kadokawa has released cast information and a 2024 premiere for Mysteries, Maidens, and Mysterious Disappearance, which is a mystery series with a very heavily stacked lady. So, there you go. Story follows these two as an aspiring novelist and who loves mysteries and works in a bookstore with a boy named Rin Arashino. They witness strange occurrences and attempt to solve mysteries. Great synopsis. You could not have guessed based on that title. They look at mysteries. The staff for the TV anime You Were Experienced, I Wasn't, and This Is How We Started Dating, has released a new premiere date, which is October. So, yeah, the gyaru that's experienced that starts dating the guy who ran him. Like, what do you mean? He lost a bet, right? I think the idea was that he lost a bet and he had to ask her, and then she's like, well, I'm not busy, so sure, I'll go out with you. Yeah, he lost a game, yeah. And then Doki Dokis happen. And she's a gyaru, so that's the new in right now. And he's gonna go, whoa, 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 when she's taking off her clothes, because he's not experienced and she is. It's in the title, Andrew. So obviously he's gotta go, whoa, whoa, what? And she's probably going to realize, hey, this guy doesn't really want me for my body like everybody else does. And then Doki Doki's, right?
She's awesome.
Is that how it's going to go?
Gyarus are awesome. I love Gyarus.
He's not like all the other boys that just want to sleep with me and Doki Doki's happen. Shut up, Andrew. It's a Gyaru. Who cares what happened to the story? Move on.
I don't care about all that. I like the Gyaru.
Deep discussion Andrew's trying to make here.
There is no discussion. It's Gyarus.
Layback Camp's coming back, and they're actually changing studios, Chris. They're going to 8-bit. Moving away from C Station, which I'm all for because 8-Bit has done Encouragement to Climb, and that's a really good-looking climbing show.
I all I want is more of that. I love this show.
So. Did you watch the movie? I didn't watch the movie yet. I think Crunchyroll finally released it.
I don't think so. I watched her go to sleep in the car.
There you go.
And it was cute.
The car sleeping arc. Chris has watched that.
It was cute.
It was cute. Yes.
Did you miss that part?
I don't remember. It's been like 3-4 years. I don't know.
It was only a year ago.
No. Dropkick on the Devil is coming back. The spinoffs is coming back. It's going to be on December 26th.
I would think that they were probably dropkicked into oblivion after that last season. Everybody was mad at them. They were mad.
Well, they still managed a crowdfunding campaign because this spinoff is the crowdfunding campaign, which is coming December 26th. Of course, I still have another season coming, but this is just the specials, which will drop on December 26th. So I'll be checking it out. Hopefully it's not more tourist stuff. Hopefully it's not funded by by cities again. Let's stop with getting funded by random locations, please. And then having your funding ripped out of certain locations that think you were offensive.
It was the funniest episode. Just saying.
Anyways, Toho is launching an international website for e-commerce. They're going to apparently have one for... they're both in North America, but one is going to be focused on Godzilla franchise, and the other one's going to be called Izo, and it's going to be stocking original Japanese merchandise for anime fans. It's going to be including merch from Toho Animation, as well as My Hero Academia, Spy Family, Jujutsu Kaisen, Attack on Titan, and Chainsaw Man. So, pretty cool stuff. I'm all for... quote unquote, a competitor in the merchandise realm in North America right now. My big question mark is I'm wondering if they're going to have local storaging of this stuff or if they are just going to be doing like international shipments. Because that's obviously the big concern for buying anime merch is that you have to pay for very expensive shipping. But that's one of the main reasons why there's not much merch available to the West is because stocking random stuff that doesn't sell fast enough and just gets stuck in a warehouse because we literally get bored of franchises the next season starts. So whatever they don't sell in a particular season could end up being stock sitting on the floor. So I'm assuming they're going to be shipping from Japan, in which case I hope they have some really good system set up for shipments because otherwise it's going to be very expensive. But we'll have to. I'll keep an eye out for that. Whenever that does finally launch, I'll keep an eye out for it to see if it's locally stored or if they're doing international shipments or whatnot. But again, I think it's a cool idea. Having more availability of merch for the standard anime fan that doesn't know how to dip through things like AmiAmi or Mandarake is good. Cool, exciting, Chris. You look for that Godzilla merch?
No.
Is you think that Godzilla has that much of a fandom in North America that they can launch a website around it? It's got to be international shipping. They are not going to store Godzilla stuff over here. It's got to be shipped from Japan. They're not going to have a warehouse with Godzilla stuff in it.
I'm assuming there's got to be a fandom for Godzilla.
Fandom, but what kind of size?
I that is a good question. I mean the reason why like the reason why it. The reason why I say that is because I do know that there was a cult following of the original Godzilla.
Back in the day, I remember, like, crazy fandom around Godzilla films.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, Was it in sci-fi? One of the channels had Godzilla on it a lot.
I would say it was probably sci-fi.
Probably, yeah.
Because, I mean, I do know that... it was one of those reoccurring shows during our childhood that just kept popping up. And it was like, what is this and why is it a thing? Now that we're
going crazy, I mean, like, oh no, it's Godzilla.
But now that we've grown up, it's like the Godzilla films keep coming back and coming back. So there's got to be a thing for it, obviously. Otherwise, it wouldn't keep coming back.
Yeah, and the recent films were seemingly well received, from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, so. They had to have been. I mean, when they made it the remake recently, and then now they're remaking the remake.
The one back there, what was that, 2012 was it, or 2020, or 2010? That was one back there, it was like, oh, that was terrible. That was a terrible adaptation, but the recent ones, like I said, seem to be well-received.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It has to have some kind of a following, otherwise it's wouldn't be keep coming back for whatever reason.
Yeah, y'all know the... anime with Godzilla and Godzuki was the best.
Godzuki.
And Godzuki. Anyways, what else do I have here? Oh, yeah, Saints Magic Power is Omnipotent has a premiere day, Chris. Fall. It's finally coming back. Season 2, Chris. It actually exists at this point. It felt like
are we sure that it exists, or are we waiting until we're watching it?
They made an art for it.
They made an art. Okay, yes, well, I'm Chris. On board. Let's go.
They made an art.
Let's go.
Art.
I'm going to go
the
watch.
First season. Shoot.
2021?
Really? I thought it was 2020, but that makes sense. Yeah, it feels like, because they announced it like shortly after, I think late 2021, they announced the second season. So it's been, I've been wondering if this thing existed. I was holding hope for it to come back. A very rare female-led isekai series that actually gets a second season. I'm all for it. Please. More. I can't wait. What else? What else is interesting? Oh, this one kind of sounds funny. I think you'll like this idea. It's the official Twitter account for the manga series, The Dialect of a Girl I Fell in Love With in Okinawa is Too Difficult to Deal With. They announced that he's going to be getting a TV anime adaptation. This is a romantic comedy manga centers on a boy named Teruaki, who transfers from Tokyo to Okinawa. There he finds a girl that he likes named Hina Kyan. But Teruaki is having a hard time understanding Hina's Okinawa dialect. Hina's friend, Kana, always helps Teruaki and translates the dialect for him. But what he doesn't know is that Kana secretly likes him. This is going to be a new thing. I just realized there's another show coming up here soon that's going to be kind of the same concept. It was the Russian girl. And she speaks in Russian and likes him. But she doesn't know that he actually speaks Russian or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't remember that one. So this is going to be basically the same thing. Whereas there's a language barrier, but they actually like each other. So that's cute. I like a lot of dialects and stuff in Japanese, and there's always got a cute twinge to it. I don't know why. So having a show about that sounds good.
Sounds like fun, for sure.
They did have a celebratory art, and I'm wondering if that's the style of the manga and if they'll hopefully get pretty close to that, because it's very unique looking. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Anime Expo announced that Fate Stay Fake is going to get a TV anime adaptation to surprise nobody. What else? Hell's Paradise is getting a second season. Oshinoko, of course, is getting a second season. Mashle is getting a second season. Golden Kamuy is getting a final arc anime. Kizuna LLA is getting a second season. Cafe Terrence is getting a second season. What else? Staff for I Shall Survive Using Potions has released a new promo video, Grace. Did you see this one? Probably not. If you didn't see the Spice and Wolf one, why would you watch this one? But now, this is one that me and Chris, when we first heard the adaptation, it sounded interesting. It's this idea of this girl being reincarnated, and she basically demanded from the goddess that she be able to make potions wherever, whenever, and able to do whatever she wants them to do. So pretty much an OP skill magic to do anything and everything, which is totally not OP. So probably heal everybody. Apparently, at some point in the trailer, soft spoilers for anybody that doesn't want to know, it looks like she's able to change her appearance by using potions. So yeah, she can disguise herself. But it looks good. It looks cute. But yeah, did I cover the news on that? Yeah, October premiere. So another fall show. We're, again, like I said earlier, we're already looking at fall, Chris. Are you ready for fall?
Yeah.
Fall's stacking up like crazy. So there you go. I think that's pretty much all the big news. Nier's coming back, Chris. It's finally going to finish its broadcast by broadcasting all the remaining episodes on July 23rd. So we can stop delaying that one. Oh, this sucks. It's been delayed for so long. Oh, yeah, 2024 premiere for bottom tier character Tomozaki. It's going to be in January, so. Cool stuff. That's all the news. That was a lot to go through, but like I said, I want to get everybody updated on stuff. So let's get to some questions, Chris. Are you excited for some questions?
Sure.
We have some decent time. Now, here's the problem. I noticed this before. We're getting bad people in the Discord again. People are putting too many chat in the Discord questions thread. The submit questions thread is for questions only, not conversation. So I have to publicly shame you all once again. So TCB says, how big you think your sphere of influence is amongst running anime podcast channels in the community? I have no idea. I'm gonna guess zero. Nobody cares about us. We don't cause controversy, so I don't think people notice us. We're like in the shadow. We're just over here with our community, and we don't stir nests. And so nobody notices us. I think if I went out there and I started like starting crap with other content creators, then they throw crap back at me, and I'd probably get more attention. But we don't cause controversies and do hate stuff as much as other people, so we don't get much attention.
I'm gonna say probably in the same area. I think our influence is a little bit bigger than we realize, but it's not as, since we don't try to pull that weight, it tends to not be as aggressive as it could be. Does that make sense?
I mean, we've talked with many of the other big podcasters, so I mean they're aware of us and we're aware of them. We've done a lot of collabs in the past with a podcast. We still do stuff with them. They're still open for interviews, which I hopefully hear soon. We'll do probably another co podcast back and forth between them at some point. We still take a part in their yearly awards. So yeah, I think podcast wise, I think we're pretty much aware of each other. But as for like YouTube and stuff like that, I don't know that YouTube's big enough to be really that much of a presence. But I will say, ever since hitting 10,000, it feels like I cannot stop getting emails from random people at this point. I appreciate every single one of you. If you for some reason are listening to this, you're probably not, because you're probably just contacting me because you see my channel has hit 10,000. I don't need a thumbnail banner maker. I'm so tired of emails about thumbnail making. It's like I make videos so on the spot, I do not have time to wait for somebody to make a thumbnail for me. And I have no money to pay you for making thumbnails for videos that are not going to make that much. I mean, each individual video, unless it gets viral, I mean, it's just not going to make enough for a thumbnail. It's a slow building up process. Somebody the other day was surprised that I don't have an editor. I'm like, I thought it was pretty clear I don't have an editor. It's all manual. But yeah, it's a thing. What was the question? A sphere of influence. I don't know. But it's enough to get attention from companies at this point, which is good. But yeah, I just don't think channel-wise, I don't think anybody really acknowledges our YouTube. Probably won't for a little bit longer. But like I said, podcasts, we're not like super buddies with any other podcasts, but we do communicate now and then. So yeah. I think the podcast community is, the anime podcasters community is, yes, there's a lot of people out there, but a lot of them fall off a lot.
Yeah.
But those that kind of has been sticking around for a long time, I think we've all acknowledged each other. So, I mean, it was probably only a few second away. If I messaged one of them or they messaged me, we'd probably be on a podcast together. So they're all cool people. We had some good talks, so. Not all of them. Not saying I know all of them. Just saying we've talked to a lot of them.
Well, we've been around at this point, we're one of the oldest now. I mean,
yeah, I remember when we first talked to a podcast, they were like, so you're new around the block or something. I forget exactly what he said or something like that. And we're like, no, we've been on since like this date. And he's like, oh, really? It was like one of those moments of like, yeah, we've been around. We just weren't doing fully anime up until a certain point. So too long. Anyways, thanks, TCB. Sobble Boy says, have you guys ever seen Suzume? If so, did y'all see it in theaters? Any thoughts about the movie?
I don't remember.
No. It's Shinkai, I think. It's the new Shinkai one, the door.
Oh.
It's like recently. I think it's supposed to be on Crunchyroll soon, or maybe it already released, but no, haven't watched it. We don't get stuff in theaters around here. We've talked about that a lot. We don't get anime in theaters here. The last time I checked, it was like 4-hour drive away, 4 hours back just to watch a movie. And it's like, unless something comes out, unless like a Mushoku movie comes out, I don't think I'm driving down to a theater just to watch a movie. I'll wait until it comes out on a streaming platform or something, which is great with Crunchyroll right now. Crunchyroll is getting really good about getting movies. So it's good. So Ira says, if you could each pick one anime to get a Brotherhood/Fruits Basket treatment, and get an anime remake, and this time actually get a full adaptation, what would you pick? Excluding Spice and Wolf, because it's obvious, and maybe gonna happen. It happening. We have a PV now, Ira. I know he was joking about that because I was, again, saying that it was possibly way delayed. So, yeah, now that we have Spice and Wolf, it's like, what now? I think one of the other ones that I had was obviously Berserk. A good studio, not a crappy CGI studio, needs to get Berserk. It's like, it's such a... Maybe I'm crazy. It feels like it's such a no-brainer to make a fortune, but I'm guessing it's one of those things where maybe just it never does make money and they're too afraid of touching it. There's got to be something behind the scenes that's keeping them from actually giving it a proper release and not keep re-releasing the CGI crap. Like, because they did that re-release of the CGI one. It's like, why? Remake it. Start from the beginning. Get a good studio to do it. It's mind-boggling. But the other one I think I had was Akira's getting one already, so that's already given. But I think my other one I had was Claymore. I would really like a restart of Claymore because the anime ending was original and they kind of botched the ending. I would say Noragami, but that's too new. It's new, too recent, and I still have hope that they will still do another season of that. So Berserk or Claymore, I think for me.
I don't know. I'm still probably going to give my stock answer of either the
Inside Mari. The
Inside Mari would an be actual freaking awesome.
An actual release. That's never been
anything. I actually got a kick out of it. I barely...
No game, no... Chris, you're supposed to say no game, no life, by the way.
No. I have my reasons for that. I've actually gone through the books, and so I'm not sure about that. No, I was glancing through the manga light novel in the Discord and all I seen was one panel. I knew exactly what they were reading. and it was Inside Mari, but yeah, it's one of those that actually, now that you mentioned it, I would like to see a remake of Flowers of Evil. That would be just...
That's what I meant to say before I said that, but yeah,
that let go of the rotoscope and actually give that show it deserved all the actual it really did deserve a solid
a proper release. Just say proper release.
Yeah.
Release.
Yeah. But my stock answer is usually Mayu because it's very similar to
he's working on Spice Wolf right now. He can't do it.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Spice and Wolf thing, and it does get a lot into the politics of that land, and it's one of those that at the very beginning you think it's one thing, and then as it goes on you start to see there's a lot more depth to this than it actually is leading on it at first. I would really like a proper remake of the Record of Lotus Wars. I think that
was original, wasn't it?
I think it was original, but yeah. I still think OBA. it could
it could be extended.
Yeah, it could definitely
not the
be
pop parn stuff. Not do that. I didn't. Was it Chronicles or something? I didn't like that series. Yeah,
I
parn and D-Lit, not this other dude, this young buck.
I would say even that could be done, just not necessarily as comedic as it was. I didn't care for the Papa Parn.
Papa Parn.
But it does have it has the twinge of that area, and that stuff is actually, there's so much depth to that that.
What was world. The Berserker's name? Orson?
Probably Olsen? Was. Olsen. Olsen sounds right.
Yeah, him and the girl. That was a cool story. So you write great characters. What was the other mage's name? God, it's like I almost remember every single character's name, and that's scary because I haven't watched it in so long. It's such a memorable characters back then. Such a good...
The Grey Witch.
Yeah. I would even go for a Some Aspire So What? Done properly, because it's like, again, when I watched that show, it felt like it had a good story, just the studio was not doing good.
I think that one was more a victim of the same thing that we've been bringing up with a lot of these light novel adaptations. It was very much a victim of the not in their head thing. Now, how much of it I don't know, because They, as far as I could tell, they were very close to the light novels, but it seems like a twinge of it was a lot more because it wasn't in their head so much, because especially when it came to the other characters, the classmates, they were in, it was in their heads as well. And so since they didn't have as much comedic vibes that Aoyuki can pull off with.
Oh, she carried it.
Yeah, she absolutely carried
she it.
Since they didn't have her, her voice kind of making a lot of that goofy hijinks of her getting all excited about every time she leveled up. On the classmates' side, it was a lot more darker, and you could feel the push, especially with like the hero boy. His inner turmoil involving balancing between doing the right thing and not wanting to be involved in a lot of that stuff, which I don't know. I think it was
that.
Really.
I mean, but that is one of the things that's just like the whole situation with Mushoku Tensei season 1 and season 2. It's like, I think there's a way of balancing it. Not doing it at all, I guess, is one way of doing it. But yeah, I would. We talked about it a minute ago. Battle Angel. Do the whole thing, do the whole manga.
I would really love that. But I would definitely like Armitage far
but
faster
again, that's
than
an OVA.
That.
I guess a remake. Yeah, you can still have a remake.
I love her. She is so freaking awesome. I just need to go out and just find all kinds of fan art of it, and then I'd probably get into stuff I don't want to see. So,
okay, I got dark. Yeah, more Grimgar would be great. But I don't know how good that story is beyond the anime. I mean, I have it to read it, just haven't got a chance to do that, but there's a lot. There's too much. Let's just say that, too much. Oh, yeah, I said Noragami a minute ago, huh? Because that's too recent. There was another one that was in there, but anyways. More Ascendance of Bookworm would be great. That doesn't need a remake, though. Anyways, where am I at? Sabanasu says, do you ever go to the movies? Not really. We did a while back as, like, family. But I don't actively myself go to a movie. Partly because I just don't care for Western movies. And yeah. Again, unless they had anime there, and even then I would probably not really care to go.
I think I get such a kick out of people asking me if I've watched this or watched that. And I'm like, no, I don't watch anything Western anymore. And they're like, What do you mean?
Yeah, it's puzzled. Well, yeah, I mean, even our other brother was asking me the other day, was like, did you watch this or something like that, Marvel something? I'm like, no, I just don't have any care for it, sorry. I mean, there is times where I feel like I should be watching, at least, like I said, the whole Spider-Man Homecoming thing. It's like, I understand that stuff is very artistic and doing some really creative stuff, and that's obviously going to probably be influential to even animators in Japan, but I just don't have the time. I mean, I'm barely keeping up with all the anime right now.
I was vaguely interested in Westworld. I was vaguely interested in Stranger Things.
Every time I give a shot, it drops off at some point. Stranger Things did it. Dropped off in the second season. Same thing with Westworld. Dropped off in the second season. Like, every time I get invested into something, I get tired of it. The Boys got invested into it. Dropped off at some point. I think I watched the second season of that one, but even when I give them a shot, they fail. I think my attention is more grabbed from Korean films lately, so yeah. Which is weird. Sorry, Sabanasu, we're boring.
I'm gonna watch Squid Game before I watch anything at the movies.
Squid Game was okay. The ending sucked.
Well, it goes into what we're talking about is I don't watch anything Western. So if I'm going to go and watch something else other than anime, it's going to be something that I'm interested in. And
Eastern.
What am I interested in?
Eastern.
It's going to be Squid Game.
Eastern. Death Metalhead said, when is the last time either of you played a visual novel? Recently, I've been enjoying the medium and spending an hour or more a day on visual novels. A few follow-up questions for this. I think that's a really good plan, Death Metalhead, because my biggest problem with visual novels is they don't invest, and I think that's probably because I try to sit through too much at once in one sitting. That was the whole point why I bought, if you guys see in my videos, this big old row of Switch visual novels, because I think Switch is perfect for visual novels. So I think that's what I need to do. I just need to I think my problem is that I want to invest too much time in a single sitting to read it, and I should probably treat it like books or whatever, where you just kind of hitting a couple pages at a time, put on standby, put it down. I think the only problem is that most cases with visual novels, they are long conversations, and so dropping a conversation midway through kind of is a bit difficult, because, man, at least the visual novels I played are very wordy. But yeah, I want to.
Yeah, that's pretty much the answer that I would have to give is I want to.
They're time consuming. Very time consuming.
Yeah, if I anytime that I'm not watching anime would be dedicated to a game. And if I was going to dedicate in a game, it would probably
you play a lot of games with visual novel elements.
Yes.
Which I used to do a lot.
And that's
13 Sentinels is a good example. They have a game mechanic, like a strategy or something, and then you're doing a lot of visual novel style conversations and storytelling.
Yeah, and that one of the things what I was getting ready to say is I've been goofing off on kind of smaller type games. If I actually had time to invest in a game, I want to play Zelda. Right now, I have gotten to a certain point in the game, but I know that if I get in there, I'm going to be dedicating a whole big old chunk of time. And so I don't really want to do that. And so I've been goofing off with teeny tiny games. Huh?
You don't have to make excuses. Just say yes or no. No.
Yeah. A visual novel would be in that category of massive amounts of time investing in it. And I'm one of those that I have a hard time stopping when I get going. So
yeah, my biggest problem right now is that I have, here is what I'm doing, which is the YouTube stuff. And then of course every Monday we're doing the podcast, and then to do the YouTube stuff, I have to watch all these shows. And then my free time outside of that is either setting up for another video, writing a script or something like that. It is looking up news, putting together news broadcasts or news podcast or news videos. And then outside of that is my spare time. That spare time at this point is literally Mushoku Tensei. Like I have the devoted to finishing that stuff. And so doing a visual novel right now is impossible because it would take all this time from reading Mushoku Tensei. I'm a very one track mind. Like I tell a lot of people, Mushoku is my time investment right now. I can't bring in another visual novel because that would take away from the time investment for doing that. Once I finish Mushoku, it goes to Ascendance of Bookworm, Spice and Wolf, possibly Grimgar. There may be some visual novels, but they're basically like a book for me. I can't do a book and a visual novel at the same time. I just don't have the time.
That's like when I mention the light novels that I read. Technically, I'm not reading them. I'm listening to them while I'm working. I mean, I do love the fact that when I had got on the Discord and I had mentioned in the light novel.
Did I say that Ascendance of Bookworm's getting an audiobook?
I think that it got mentioned at some point.
I don't know if we talked about it last time. I don't know if I scrolled past it, but that's a cool thing.
Yeah, that's like freaking massive. I really, really would love that one. I mean, right now I've got Spider that I did, Shield Hero, Faraway Paladin, Realist Hero, and Spice and Wolf. And I just finished The Sword Arts. I absolutely love it because it's one of those things that I think that when we had I think that when we had first heard that J-Novel or Yen Press was thinking about doing this, it was like, yes, this, I don't understand how we haven't done this already. This is a massive move for them. And when they were just dipping their toes in, if you're not supporting these, if you're one of those that listens to podcasts, audiobooks would probably just be a natural shift over for you. I mean, it is kind of nice to finally get a lot of these. Listening to the Sword Arts, I was actually surprised how fast it a lot of those went through. It went through a lot of those because it didn't. It felt like thinking back on the show, the show meandered in a lot of those cases. But a lot of the high points were all hit in the story. I am very surprised that the light novel 2 is all the side stories, and the first light novel just went right straight to level 75. That blows my mind. So it is interesting to see a lot of the way that that stuff is kind of situated out. So yeah, I don't know how I ended up on the light novels.
By the way, it was volume 4 of Spice and Wolf they skipped. I don't think I got that
volume
one
4.
I think I only read up to 3, and that's why I haven't gotten to it yet. They adapted 1, 2, 3, and then they went to 5. I was wrong. It wasn't 3. I know they skipped one. Anyways. But no, to answer you, the recent one that I, or was the last time that I did, was probably 13 Sentinels. If you don't want to consider that be a visual novel, it would have been when I was doing Clannad. I was doing on Twitch for a while. I was doing Clannad read-throughs, and I went through like 2 arcs. Or 2 character routes, and then I never got back to it. Like I usually do, I got sidetracked. I have read a few, like Planetarian. I've done quite a bit of Clannad, like I said. I've done quite a bit of Grisaia. And I think that's it. There's probably another one that I'm not remembering. But yeah, like I said, a lot of visual novel-like stories that I've done, but they're more like RPGs and stuff. I do want to eventually do the Jin Urobuchi one. I really do. I think that's probably the next one that I want to actually do, because I might, maybe this next Halloween, maybe I might finally do it. We'll see. We'll see if people can pressure me enough, and I will do it maybe for a Halloween stream. I think that'd be fun for October. You said, what's the last visual novel? I just did the answer. What was the last one you did? Or do you remember the last visual novel you've done? Or at least started? I also tried to do that one Aniplex EXE one that they released on.
I started the Fruits of Grisaia, but I never got very far into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we were hot on that.
Top 3? I guess since I've only really kind of completed a couple of them, I guess put Planetarian up there. I don't know. It's probably not that great. I was enjoying how Clannad was. Grisaia, not so much. So there you go.
All right. I'm going to clarify.
Huh.
4 is where they ended. They only did 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
4 is going into the next section.
I just
help.
I'm just saying Google, every article right here is saying that. I'm not arguing with them or you. You guys argue it. You talk to every Google response
I'm telling them
they're wrong. You're right.
Okay, if they skip 4,
Japan then Geek 5. Hold on.
Then Japan 5 Geek would be com,
you're wrong. Reddit, all of you are wrong. Let's see what else. Who else is wrong? The Wikipedia for Spice and Wolf apparently is wrong. That anybody can edit that. Epic Dope. Let's see. Oh, they don't say. But you're all wrong, basically. Chris is right. I don't care. I want to read what Death Metalhead says. Any visual novels that you're looking forward to, like I said, I want to read the Jin Urobuchi one. Doesn't have to be a new release. Can't just something that you always want to check out. I do want to also do the Tsukihime stuff. I would really like to get that, because I've heard nothing but good things. Even though I don't know if I want to get into that typhoon area. Like that typhoon area over there. It's kind of scary. Yeah, these tight moony people are really scary. And if you start doing that stuff and then you say, I like this, they're like, you know nothing. And you're like, okay.
I do have Outrun, really, like you mentioned. I hate to say this, but I really do want to get into the full breakdown of the tight moon. I really, that's a box that I'm honestly scared to open.
Yeah, you got the next 15 years of your life to devote to it.
Pretty much. That's the point. I really want to go and do a deep dive into the entire Fate Stay universe, and it's one of those that it's just a box that no matter how you look at it, it's too overwhelming.
He said he lately enjoyed Aucana for Across the Blue, great visual novel, and would recommend it for both of you. Yeah, I was actually, from what I remember, I was enjoying the anime. I just think, like, the things around the whole game itself was, it looked bad. But I knew the characters were good. And so I had some confidence in the actual visual novel, thinking, okay, this is probably one of those ones that, because let's be perfectly honest, a lot of visual novel adaptations just don't work. They're not good. So I did end up getting the Switch version of it. So it might be one of those ones where I get the Switch version of it, but I might have to, like, sidestep it a little bit, because I think that was one that was technically censored when it went to Switch, because Nintendo. And obviously they're not going to have Prawn on a, a game console, even in Japan. So, and that's the Japanese release, by the way. So there was a really nice period of time where there was a lot of visual novels hitting the Switch in Japan, and they had English options. So it's really cool. So thanks, Death Metalhead. One more, hopefully two more, maybe. Forstick Man says, visual novel that you think would make a good anime. Yes, you're asking visual. What's the fascination of visual novels? When have we ever indicated that we read a bunch of visual novels? I guess make the Jinro Butchi one into one, because I can't stop hearing people talk about how great that is, because it's the only visual novel that I've really touched recently that has not got an anime adaptation. So there you go.
As far as me, just to save everybody the trouble, I haven't really done very many visual novels, so.
Any specific anime IPs you would like to get your hands on? And I'm jumping forward. We're still back at Forstick Man. I feel like it feels like we get less anime based on visual novels now. Do you think it's true, and why? Yes. Because when was the last time you had a visual novel? I think literally the last visual novel adaptation that we got was probably the rewrite. That was probably the last
one. That one would be a good candidate for a remake.
Yeah, do anything but what you just did.
Anything but what you did.
Anything where you actually get into the characters in a significant way. There was a lot of characters, and they barely touched any of them, and it made none of it made any sense, and there was a lot of CGI raptors. But no, it had cool concepts in it, for sure. It just didn't work out. But yeah, it's sort of died. I think it's mainly around the fact that everything's chasing the current fads, which is not so much visual novel based. A lot of the fads currently, I think, are trending more towards a lot of light novels. Light novels right now are kind of picking up on having the big trends, and things like isekais often are light novels. And so a lot of companies are kind of dipping into that. So that's pretty much the reason why.
Yeah, that's
visual novels were really big when things that were big were like harems and stuff like that.
And so that's one of the things that we were pointing out. Somebody had asked us where do we think where the next trends were coming in, and we were leaning towards the Otome game thing. That seemed like that might be the interesting new direction, and that's where it was popping up at the time. And so now we're seeing that is kind of coming into fruition, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. What is the next thing that
teasing could girls pop? Too.
Yeah, the teasing girl. I got a kick out of it. Watching,
maybe esports now.
Did you see did you watch Duke of Death and his maid yet?
The first episode, yeah.
Did you see the Sweet Dreams box?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that
Bunny Des?
Yeah, the bunny. when he went into the first room, on the couch was
Kuroneko?
Not Kuroneko. There was a version of her that was in a
golf lolly of cat.
Golf lolly of the cat. But the bully girl. It was a version of Alice that was the bully girl, the tan with the swimsuit and everything like that.
Oh, you mean Don't Toy with Me, Miss Nagatoro?
Nagatoro, yes. God, gone. I seen her and I was like, oh my gosh. And I, yeah. You weren't there.
I have this really, really sad mental image right now of Chris going, hey, Andrew! Oh, and your dog just looking at you like, you're alone. And then he continues to sip on his cup noodles alone on his couch in front of his TV. And his dog looking at him like he's nuts. And then he turns the light off and goes to bed.
But I watched my anime.
Anyways, just one candle lit in the room, flickering. Anyways, yeah, that's the reason why. They're going after trends, and trends right now are into isekai, specifically mostly light novels. So, favorite anime based on visual novels? Probably Clannad, I think, still holds the cake. I don't feel like I've seen any other visual novel adaptation that has felt like... There's two different types of visual novels we're talking about. There's kinetic and there's non. There's like kinetic's like it, this is the story you get, and then the other ones is where you're choosing a route. And Clannad was like the rare case where it was about multi-route, multiple characters, different waifus, whatever you want to call it. And it felt like each got a moment to shine, while not their full in-depth story, at least enough that it felt like I understood the characters. And then, obviously, with the after story going after one character. And then having the OVAs do, you know, kind of dabble in with, you know, Kyo and Tomoyo. It worked. I think the thing that makes it work so well is it just... It was one of the few cases of a visual novel main character that didn't feel like they were literally a silent protagonist. He had character. He was the character. And his chemistry with all those characters was great. And that was exactly what I felt when I actually played the visual novel. I'm like, this dude is snarky as hell. He's great. I love his quick wits. He's always snappy. And it throws the characters off all the time. And Son of Hunter is dark. So that works too.
And that's a very true statement. I mean, when you think about how... When you go through a lot of the visual novel adaptations, most of the time they all have this issue of feeling kind of disconnected in some way, shape, or form. They don't really feel.
Little Busters was decent.
Little Busters did fine. Oh yeah, a lot of the key, and that's one of the reasons why we fell so in love with Key is the fact that we just got spoiled by really fantastic. Key has fantastic stories. When Rewrite came out, that was one of the first times that we really went, this is a Key. I mean, it just didn't feel right. And when you think back on it, it's probably because of the adaptation, not so much the story. That's one of the main reasons why if I do, I would love to go through Rewrite as a story. But yeah, a lot of the stories that they do has been all, from visual novels, and that was the first one that they had adapted that wasn't that impressive. Now, Charlotte was an original, if I remember right, but I got the memory of a slug, so Andrew probably...
Well, I know Charlotte, but there's several of them that they start out with an anime and they go to, like, I think even the Robot Girl one here recently did that route where they start out as an anime and they were going to make a visual novel live or something like that.
No, that's possible. Because I think if I remember right, we were talking about that one being some kind of a collab or something like that.
There seems to be like a thing now where they like making these anime right at the same time they're developing the game or the novel and then releasing them side by side. So you watch the first episode and you're like, oh, I really like this. And boom... It just published. It's on the shelves. People grab that first volume. It's a lot better than having, you know, like five volumes out already.
Right.
You release the first episode, and then everybody's like looking for the first volume because they want to start from the beginning. It kind of works out really well that way. So I guess that we'll wrap it up there. Sorry, Petro. We spent too long talking about visual novels that we didn't get to your question, but we'll get to it soon. We'll probably in about a couple weeks because we'll be doing our... Obviously, I guess to get in there, thanks to all the questions. But yeah, we should be going into music episode tomorrow, or not tomorrow, not doing tomorrow, music podcast episode next week. Hopefully if I can get everything together, and then the following week we'll do our first impressions, and then we'll get to your question after that point, Petro. But just be patient, Petro. You're degenerate anyways, watching Kiss Exist on our Discord with Adrian. But yes, we're on our Discord. Would welcome you guys to join us there. Great community of people there. Great discussions. And yeah, watch-alongs of Kiss Exist every now and then, apparently. But also other watch-alongs that are official watch-alongs that Ira puts together for us. So you could actually do the official one.
But yes, we thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. And yeah, we're talkaspear.com. It's where all of our links are, social media links, ways to get to Discord, ways to support us through Patreon, and other ways as well. Like I said, you can go to twitch.tv/talkyspirited. Give us your prime there if you just if it's just sitting around. Yeah, with all that said, we thank you all for listening, and y'all take care.
Os.